Okay, tonight's shiur is in a certain sense a follow-up of last week's shiur, but even though there was one here last week, we'll catch up very quickly. So last week we spoke about what's supposed to happen when a person is home on Chanukah. So that's the way Chazal envisioned. Everyone's going to be home every night of Chanukah. All the families gather together to light at the right time. Now reality sets in, and we live in a world when people are coming and going. So we have to avail ourselves very often of the second half of what do you do when people are not always home? When people are away for Shabbos, people are coming home late from work, all kinds of different scenarios. People are out of town, one member of the family, another member of the family. How does Hilchos Neiros play out? So the sugi begins in Masechta Shabbos, in Nachas Gimel, where the Gemara is talking about the whole sugi of my Chanukah. And the Gemara is what seems to be a very strange comment. Achsenoi is Chayav b'Ner Chanukah. The person who is a guest in someone else's home is obligated in the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah. Why that Gemara is somewhat striking is because there is no similar Gemara that says Achsenoi is Chayav in Achilas Masa. There's no Gemara that says Achsenoi has to put on tefillin. It's intuitively obvious that it doesn't matter whether you're home or whether you're away, you have to keep mitzvahs. So why does the Gemara feel the need to spell out that Achsenoi is Chayav in Ner Chanukah? So this is part of the whole picture that we gave last week, that primarily Ner Chanukah is fulfilled in a person's house. That's what we mentioned. Halachas Menorah and Shul is not really a mitzvah. It's a person of the niece, a different dimension. A person can't be yotei halachas Ner Chanukah in the middle of the street. So everything revolves around the house. So one would have thought that an Achsenoi cannot be yotei the mitzvah. Not his house. How can he be yotei in someone else's house? So Kamash Balon comes to the Gemara and says, no, it doesn't matter. That he still can be yotei the mitzvah. He's still obligated in the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah. Why is that? So presumably what the Gemara is telling us is that even though he doesn't technically live in this house, but the mere fact that he's a guest here is enough of his bias. So the Gemara is in a sense watering down the definition of a bias. Everyone agrees that you have to fulfill Ner Chanukah in your house, in Eri Shabbeisel, Menichot Peschabais, Peschachot, as we said last week. The Chiddush of the Gemara is that in Achsenoi's home, the place that he's staying at is also considered to be like his home. And that's the case. Then Ein Lecha Bo Al Chiddusho, then we have to limit this Chiddush in the following sense, that only if a person meets the criteria to be called an Achsenoi, can he be yotzei the mitzvah in somebody else's home. If not for the fact that he happens to be an Achsenoi, just the fact that I'm lighting in somebody else's home, in fact I'm not yotzei. So what qualifies as an Achsenoi? How long do I have to stay somewhere in order to qualify as a guest? So one could argue maybe you have to stay there the whole Chanukah. If that would be the case, that would cause a lot of problems for many, many people's Shabbos plans this week. You have to stay there the whole week, the 8 days of Chanukah. Otherwise, it's not an Achsenoi. So we usually don't assume that way. We usually assume that Achsenoi means at least that night. At least you have to be for one night an Achsenoi. If you're not an Achsenoi at all, you're just going there for a couple of hours. So presumably that's not even an Achsenoi. That's even one step less than a guest. So that's what the Poskim point out, that if a person, let's say, goes to a Chanukah party, and it comes 5 o'clock and everybody wants to light together, so that doesn't really work. It means the Balabais can light, but the people who are just there as visitors, they're not even guests, they're not even Achsenoim, they're nothing. I'm just going there for a couple of hours, I'm coming home later that night. Once you're not fulfilled the mitzvah of Halachas Ner Chanukah, you can sing Ner Salon, you can sing Mosu, you can play Dreidel if you like, everything else. But in terms of making a bracha and lighting a menorah, one lecher does not fulfill the mitzvah if it's not in their house. There is a shaila about how long a person remains in Achsenoi. I guess it's part of a general question. At what point do we say that the guest is no longer wanted? So what if a person is a guest? It's going to be a shaila this coming week. It's coming Shabbos. So a person goes away for Shabbos. So Friday night, we assume they're still considered to be an Achsenoi. They're sleeping over that night. What about Matzah Shabbos? So it depends. If they're planning on staying over till Sunday morning, then they're still an Achsenoi. What if they're packing their bags? And it's just more convenient for them to light the menorah here. So they want to light now. I've been a guest for the last 24 hours. I want to light the menorah before I leave. So that's a big machlekes of poskim. So some poskim said that's okay, you're still an Achsenoi. Another poskim said you're not an Achsenoi anymore. It's over, finished. Once you're out the door, it's already finished. So again, everything is working within the guidelines, the parameters, what's considered to be an Achsenoi. So it comes to Gemara and then goes one step further. The Gemara says that not only is an Achsenoi chayv in your Chanukah, but the Achsenoi, the guest, can fulfill Neros Chanukah in a very strange way. He can fulfill Neros Chanukah without actually lighting. Where do we find such a thing? He can be yotzei the mitzvah without doing the mitzvah. Says the Gemara, you can be what's called mishtatef pruta. You can give a pruta. You add, give a little bit of a coin, buy a little bit of a share in the balabais, his oil, his candles, and you can be yotzei through his atlocha. So the din of mishtatef pruta. So we spoke a little bit this Sunday morning in the shiur, a different context as to just how that works in terms of din emunus. Usually when you acquire movable objects, we paskin that kesef is not kona. You have to acquire it through mashicha, through agvah, through picking up the object. So how in the world is my giving a nickel for the oil, how does that make the oil mine? So that's a big machlekes. Some poskim say taka doesn't. Some poskim say it's purely symbolic. Another poskim say it does work. It's a unique situation of din emunus here as well. Again, that's a technical detail. How the mechanism of mishtatef pruta works. But everybody agrees that it works. There's no shadow that it works. But even though Mishtat the Reputa does work, there is a further machlokes in the Poskim as to whether this is the only method of fulfilling the mitzvah or this is one of the methods of fulfilling the mitzvah. So the Mishnah Berurah writes that even though the Gemara gives us the option of Mishtat the Reputa, this is not the only method, this is one method. What's another method, says the Mishnah Berurah? To bring your own menorah. You want to bring your own menorah, bring your own oil and schlep around, light your own menorah. That's fine. Not only is it fine, says the Mishnah Berurah, thinks it's better. He says, the Gemara is telling us a chiddush that you can even be yaitz with Mishat Reputa. It's a cooler that you can be yaitz with Mishat Reputa. But if you want a light by yourself, so that's wonderful. That's great. That's beautiful, says the Mishnah Berurah. And not everybody agreed to that. So the Rav was of the opinion, like the other poskim, that no, that you're talking about yaitzay. Why not yaitzay? How can you not be yaitz with your own menorah? So the Rav explains very simple. He said, it all goes back to last week's shiur. You have to light Neir Chanukah in your house, in your bayis. So the Gemara says that an achzanoi can fulfill Neir Chanukah. It doesn't really make any sense. How can it be Yotze Nechanek if it's not his house? So the answer is he can't. The only way he can be Yotze Nechanek is if he piggybacks on the Balabayas' Hadlocha. So the Balabayas is lighting, and I became Tossel to the Balabayas, I became part of his Hadlocha, then I can be Yotze. What's the mechanism to create you to become part of his Hadlocha? That's Mishtat to the Pruta. So if I give an a Pruta, I now own, either literally I own, or symbolically, figuratively I own, a share in the oil, so I can be Yotze in a sense with his Hadlocha. But, says the Rav, and the other post to previous before the Rav, who said, but the Medrash of Amurim, that's if I'm being yaitz with his Hadlocha. But if I want to superimpose my Hadlocha, I want to bring my own menorah and light it in somebody else's house, even if I am an Achsenoi, that's not going to work, says the Rav. So notwithstanding that Lomdus, the Minigoyim doesn't seem to be that way. Most people don't follow that. Most people walk around with their own menorahs. People like to bring their own menorahs, to bring their own oil. So very rarely do people rely on the Mishtat the Kapruta. Once in a while, person doesn't want to be doing menorah, well, there's Tamin Vinarav, so they're machpit, so to speak, to be only the Yaitz to Mishtat the Kapruta. But the rest of the Yaitz usually doesn't do that.
But if the Balabayas gives his guest menorah and candles or oil,
oh, so
then they might.
Oh, so as Mishnah Berurah says, that's also okay. Mishnah Berurah says that if you're lighting, if he gives it to you as a matana, so if he, but it's a little bit different. The Mishnah Berurah is talking about if he's mocking it to you, if he gives you a matana, his oil. Let's say I have candles, I'm about to light them, so I say to the guest, pick them up so you'll own a share in the candles, you don't have to bother paying for me, I'm okay with it without getting paid. So that the Mishnah Berurah says is for sure okay. That even the Rav would agree is okay. But if the Balabai says, yeah, I'm going to give you the menorah and I'm going to give you oil and candles that's yours, and do whatever you want with it, and go light, so the Rav would have a problem with that also. So the Rav basically held that the Achsenoi can never light a menorah. The Achsenoi can only light as part of the Mishtat the Reputa of the Balabais. But again, it's a Chiddush, a big Chiddush. Most people don't follow. So I was telling over in Shia the other day about how one time I tried to pull this kunst that I was going to be Yotze Dafka when I got married, we went to my friends for Shabbos, so I was Dafka going to be Yotze with the Mishtat Reputa, on the other hand I wanted to light my own, so I told my father Mishtat Reputa that I was going to have in mind to be Yotze with his bracha, and then I'm going to light my own, razzle dazzle shikopera. The only problem is I forgot to tell him that I wanted to be Yotze with his bracha, and I was in the shower and I all of a sudden I heard his bracha, so that was that killed us for that one. So after that I just went back to being normal, I just did it like everybody else did.
Is it preferable for your guest to give some money to
you? So according to the Rav, you have to, but according to everybody else, I wouldn't do that. Standard procedure. Most people bring their own menorah and light their own menorah and try to leave the car. Leave it alone. If you don't leave your own menorah, then for sure, then you have to. Or if again, either he gives you a menorah and oil to light with, or if not, then you have to mishat leputa. Otherwise, you're not going to be yaitzei b'chlal. So somebody came up, one of my tamidim came to me today and said, Rebbe, should I do what you did? You know, with the menorah, with this, and that. I said, listen, I looked him straight in the face. I said, you followed every other chumra in the Rav, every sheet, every minute in the Rav you follow. He said, nah. I said, so all of a sudden, this one you had to pick up mamash in the middle of nowhere just to make life crazy for everybody. I said, relax, whatever you do, like regular standard procedure. Anyway, getting back to this.
If you hold that, you know, the nigga behalf, that you should say so.
He's not really. He's not really beis. You only become beis when you're living the bekvias. If you have a person has to live in, with a cousin staying with them for a year or something, that's an erisha beis. So a person's there for a couple of days, and stuff that's not an erisha beis. So again, so the Gemara tells us a double chiddush in the sugya of achzanoi. Chiddush number one is that the achzanoi is chayev, that he can be yaitzeh even though it's not really his bias. And number two, that's good enough for him to do it. The only way for him to do it is through the method of mishat v'tuta. Then the Gemara continues and tells us a third chiddush about achzanoi, that sometimes the situation arises where the achzanoi doesn't even have to do that. He doesn't even have to mishat b'chutah. Doesn't even have to light his own menorah. If it's called malikin lovis of beso. If somebody back home is lying on his ass. Here the guy's in Asinor. He's visiting in California. And somebody back in his house, part of his Nehushu Beso, is lighting in his original home. So then he doesn't even have to be Mishtat to Bepruta. Who qualifies to light on his behalf? So the case that the Gemara gives is a wife. What's the Rabbi Zeir? Rabbi Zeir says that before he got married, he used to be Mishtat to Bepruta. After he got married, he wouldn't even bother to be Mishtat to Bepruta because Mavdika loves himself Beso. But it doesn't have to be a wife. It could be another member of the Bnei Bais as well. So let's say if one of his kids is lighting for him, that would also be okay. So how old do the children have to be in order to qualify to light? That's already a further question. At what age do we say that a person is chayav in halacha Neres Hanukkah? So we know there's a concept of higil l'chinuch. So according to some Rishonim, once a child is old enough to be higil l'chinuch, they can be quote unquote motzi me in halacha Neres Hanukkah. So the Gemara says that a wife is for sure, okay, and a child over bar bas mitzvah is for sure, okay. And according to some Rishonim, even a child under the age of bar bas mitzvah, provided that the child is higil l'chinuch. And other Rishonim say no. Other Rishonim say that higil l'chinuch is not good enough. Why is higil l'chinuch not good enough? So there are different versions in the Rishonim why that would be a problem. It makes sense. If the child has to light, he's about chiyuva, so why shouldn't that be sufficient? So Tosfos has a comment in Maseches Megillah, a different context, in the context of Kriyas Megillah, but Tosfos discusses the following shaila. Tosfos wants to know, what's the din? Can a katan who is over the age of chinuch read the Megillah on behalf of a gadol? So there's a Mishnah Maseches Megillah that says something about that topic, but it's not clear what it says. So Tosfos is trying to understand that Mishnah. So Tosfos says, it appears to them that a child over the age of chinuch cannot be the Baal Kairi. Why not? If Kriyas Megillah is only midrabanan, so we have a general rule that if I'm chayav midrabanan and you're chayav midrabanan, so I can be my deal. If something is a mitzvah deraisa, so I have to be deraisa and you have to be deraisa. But Kriyas Megillah is only midrabanan, so I'm chayav in chinuch, I'm chayav in mitzvahs midrabanan, and you're chayav in Kriyas Megillah midrabanan. Why can't the 10-year-old boy be motzi the 20-year-old? So Tosfos writes, no, that not all the rabbanans are created equal. That the child is what's called in halacha trade the rabbanan. The child is twice removed from the mitzvah deraisa. The child is the rabbanan because Kriyas Megillah is the rabbanan, and the child is the rabbanan because the child's chiyuv even post the gilah chinuch is only the rabbanan. So the child's vantage point, the mitzvah, so the mitzvah Kriyas Megillah, is a very, very, very far removed from the deraisa. It's two steps removed from the deraisa. There are two distinct reasons why this child is not chayav in Kriyas Megillah and Torah, because Kriyas Megillah is the rabbanan, and the child's chiyuv is the rabbanan. Whereas the gadol is basically chayav in mitzvahs min haTorah, it's just that in Kriyas Megillah is only midrabanan. So it's what's called a chaz rabbanan and a trey rabbanan. So Tosfos creates a whole new klal. In dargas, there are different degrees of hierarchy in terms of chiyuv and midrabanan. Not all chiyuv and midrabanan are created equal. A lower level chiyuv can't be motzi a higher level chiyuv. So according to that Tosfos, we understand why we would have a problem of a child lighting the Megillah. Lighting the Megillah, that would be a big problem. Lighting the, it's been a long week, too many parties, too many childhoods. It's been why we would have a problem of the child lighting the menorah, even though halachas says chanukah is derabbanan, and the child is like a chayiv in derabbanan. I have to have the 10-year-old must light the menorah. Must light the menorah. It's very late. Must light the menorah. Alpha b'chein according to Tosfos, it's still going to work because a trei derabbanan can't do something on behalf of a chad derabbanan. That would be one possible reason. Then the Ramban in Maseches Brachos has a totally different reason. The Ramban says that a child, even after Gil Chinuch, can never be motzi anybody in anything. You know why? Because he's not a mechuyevet davar. A child does not chayev mitzvahs. A father is chayev to make sure the child does mitzvahs. It's the father's chiyuv, but from the vantage point of the gavra of the child is totally proper for mitzvahs. And I told him that the child does not chayev in anything until he reaches bar mitzvah. So the 10-year-old doesn't really have to light the menorah. If his father catches him and makes him light him, then he's going to end up lighting it. But in theory, if the kid could sneak out and not light the menorah, and he didn't do anything wrong, because the child is not chayiv in mitzvahs. So according to that Ramban's understanding of chinuch, that it's not a chiyuv b'chlal of the child, so then how could the child light on my behalf? I'm in a business trip, I'm in Chicago, and my 10-year-old is going to light the menorah on my behalf. How are you talking? How could he be motzi me in the menorah? He's not a mechuyev davar. So according to Tosfos, he's a trade rabban against the chad rabban is no good. According to the Ramban, it's no good because he's not chayiv anything. He's not even a chad rabban. He's a mamash. He's a nothing mid rabban. So those are two different reasons why the Rishonim have objections to this practice of having a child light the menorah on behalf of a gadol. But not everyone agrees. There are some Rishonim who say taka works. So in Shulchan Aruch, both opinions are quoted. So we treat it as a sfeika to dina. Therefore, lechatchila, we would never advocate such a thing. We would never tell a child to light the menorah on behalf of the gadolim. But according to some Rishonim, it would work. So I remember several years ago, somebody called me with a shayla, and the husband was away, whatever. It wasn't part of the picture. And it was a woman with like 11, 12 year old boy in the house. And the question was, who's going to light the menorah on behalf of the family? So I said, I think that the mother said, if the child also wants to light, he can light his own menorah. 100, that's fine. But in terms of the ikrat locha to be motzi the mother, I thought that the child, the 12 year old boy, really shouldn't be the one to do it, because even though he's a yelachinuch, but one day in Shulchan Aruch, based on Taisa and the Rabban, say that the mother wouldn't be it, so the father's out of the picture. And the mother's not going to be Yotzer Achiyav if the 12-year-old boy liked it. So the woman was very taken aback by the psach. So she thought that it was a very modern psach. And I said that I'm telling the mother to light the menorah and the women to advocate to whom light the menorah. You should let the boys light the menorah. So she was all to it. I tried to explain that. It didn't go over so well. I said, I usually don't get such quote-unquote modern psachim. I said, no more modern than the Shulchan Aruch. I said, if you asked the Shulchan Aruch, that's what he would have told you. He said, it's 2 days. So why should you get involved in a situation where you're not yet to the 12 together? But somehow she couldn't grasp that concept. But in the pure world of Allah, putting aside everything else, in the pure world of Allah, if you have a toss-up between a woman versus a 12-year-old boy, so I would offer the woman to light the menorah on my behalf, because the woman is for sure chayav, it's often I'd be also nice, whereas the 12-year-old boy is questionable whether he's really chayav in the mitzvah. What was the question when you deal with the chiyav of Higil Lechinuch, the post of Shaila, whether you say Mahadrim or Mahadrim on Higil Lechinuch? It means our minhag is that we light Mahadrim and Mahadrim for all the Bnei Abayis. So who counts for the Bnei Abayis? So many have the custom that the wife doesn't count towards the Bnei Abayis. Not that she's not an integral part of the bias, but Isha the Gufa, the husband and wife, Gad Lacha counts as one. But many have the custom that the husband and wife, that's one menorah. And then all the children who are over by mitzvah, so they also count it. So they light their own menorahs. There are different customs where the girls over the age of bas mitzvah light menorahs. So some have the practice that the girls didn't light the menorahs. Mahai, why didn't the girls light the menorahs? So some sefer writes, he thinks it's a throwback to the days of Chazal, when they used to light the menorah outside. So he said, they used to light the menorah outside, so you're going to have a whole party. It's going to look like Tashlich, all the boys, and everyone's coming to celebrate, to light the menorah outside together. And putting aside Shidduch Mishnah, he didn't think that the Chazal envisioned that should be appropriate. Everyone's going to be lighting the menorah together outside. So therefore, even though Bizman is there, we all light indoors, but it's still a spillover from those from the old days. That's what the Chassam Sefer suggests. But so there are some places that have a very strange custom, that including my own family, that some of the girls, until bas mitzvah, they light the menorah, because they learn about the menorah in school, and after they turn 12, somehow they become, mamish menafichu, quoting from Purim a little bit. It's mamish backwards. The whole purpose of doing mitzvahs when you're a katan is to train you to do mitzvahs when you're a gadol. But if you're going to stop doing the mitzvah when you're a gadol, so what are you doing when you're a katan? Go explain to kids. So that's what the Dominicans and the Sobolevsky home. So the girls light the menorah until they turn bas mitzvah, at least I have only one daughter over the age of bas mitzvah, so that somehow by default became that practice. My younger daughter still is only 6, so she's still lighting a menorah. So today there was a big machlokes at the halachas of menorah that she said lahadik neshel Chanukah, and then she started lighting the candles. So my older son, my oldest son, who's also only higel lechinuch, not yet by mitzvah, so he started to scream and said, "What happened? He didn't say the second bracha. What happened to Shasa Nisim?" So I said, "I said it." He said, "No, you did. I said it. No, you did." So for 10 minutes, till we got everyone calmed down for a moment, so they're fighting with each other. So she said, "I said it before. You didn't hear it." So he said, "You can't say it before. You don't want to say it before. You have to say it after." "Yes, you can." And so they love this machlekes. So Yelachinuch, sometimes the dagger of chinuch. So what should be chalak is Allah, the yantav chinuch. So we want to make sure the mechach, the children properly, they shouldn't fight also besides they're doing the mitzvah properly. Anyway, that was just an aside. It's late night. Okay, anyway, getting back to this story. So the Gemara says that if a person has somebody who's lighting on their behalf, a wife or an older child, maybe even a younger child who went to some, so then technically they don't have to light. So if you just read the Gemara, it sounds like the Gemara says they don't have to light, so it means they don't have to light. End of discussion. There's mamish nothing for them to do, so there's no reason for them to light. So come here after Rishonim and say, not so simple. Come here after Rishonim and say that yes, it's true that they don't have to light because they were yaitzeh with the hadlocha of the wife, of the parents, of the somebody. So one of the bnei abayis, whatever the case may be. But there's another problem. There's another obligation, not a problem, another obligation, and that's the Gemara that says in Masechta Shabbos of Chav Gimel that haron nechanek etzor shi'ivar. Every time a person sees for the first time each night, the person sees a Nechanaka, they're supposed to recite a bracha. She also needs him. Supposed to recite a bracha. She also needs him. So the Rishonim point out that most of the time we never recite this bracha. Why? Because that's for a person who's not going to light. But if a person is going home to light, he's on his way home from Myra, and he's walking past and he sees people lit the menorah. He's driving home down his block and he sees there are five menorahs. But he's on his way into his house to light his own menorah. So why in the world should he say Shasanisim when somebody else has been hurt? Wait till he sees his own menorah. So therefore Rashi and Taisus write that 99% of the time nobody ever says Shasanisim in terms of Birchas HaRoah. When do we ever reserve the bracha of Birchas HaRoah? That's for the person. Never does have a house. The guy's homeless. The guy's this. The guy's a crazy situation. I remember there was one time I had a pasuk for a guy, Shalom of Birchas HaRoah. There was a fellow, his wife was in the hospital. And he was coming home every day from work, and he was going straight to the hospital to be with his wife the whole night. And Lamai said, "No, he can't light in the hospital. He can't light at work." So, hey, Mamash, nothing, no in the way. So the question is, maybe stop a potter from lighting. Are you too much a potter from mitzvah to take care of his wife in the hospital? So stop a potter from the mitzvah of Lachas Neres Hanukkah. But he felt very bad. He said, "How's this? Some shaykh to Neres Hanukkah." So I said, "You are the candidate for Birchas HaRoah." So I said, "So when you're driving to the hospital, you drive down the street, somebody from pass a menorah, and you say Shas Nisim." So I remember he asked me. He said, "Can I say Shas Nisim?" He was. He didn't live in Phoenix, but his wife was, I think at the time, was in Hackensack Hospital. So he was coming back from work, from the city, whatever it was, and he would hop running quickly from Mincha Meir over here, and then he would run straight to the hospital. So he said to me, "Can I say Sha'as and Nisim on the Halachas of this menorah?" As we speak, on the Halachas of menorah in Shul, can I argue Brichas HaRoah? HaRoah Tzarek Sheyavar, not so posh, not so simple. Because as we spoke about last week, the menorah in Shul is not so sure that we really yotzei with the menorah in Shul. It's not so posh that qualifies for Brichas HaRoah. So again, that's a continuation of last week's session. We spoke about a little bit. But a whole part of Brichas HaRoah, 99.99% of the time never happens for us. Because most of us are going to go home and light the Roman menorah, but in Brichas HaRoah for. So come to Rishonim of the following shot. What's the din if you have a person who is not going to light the menorah that night, but somebody did light on his behalf? One of his menorahs, his wife, his kids, his parents, somebody lit on his behalf, and he's going to be in a place where he's not going to light the menorah. He's not chayav, he's relying on the luck of his menorahs. Is he supposed to walk around looking for a Birchas HaRoah now? So one day Antaisa says that no. One day Antaisa says that Birchas HaRoah is for the guy who never has no shaykhus to Hanukkah. The guy is going from work to hospital to work to shul. He never goes. He has never anybody lying on his behalf. So Nebuch, we want to give him something to that Hanukkah. So she gives him some shaykhus to give him the booby prize called Birchas HaRoah. But for the person who's biyotzei the real mitzvah locha, because his wife is lighting, what does he need Birchas HaRoah for? And the other day Antaisa says no. That Birchas HaRoah is required for every single person. Every Jew has to either say a Sha'as Nisim or hear a Sha'as Nisim each and every night of Hanukkah. Hi, your wife's lighting for you? Yeah, one day Antaisa says, your wife's lighting for you and being made to you in the mitzvah of locha, but she's not being made to you in the Birchas HaRoah. How should you be made to you in the Birchas HaRoah? You're not hearing her bracha. So one day Antaisa says that if you find yourself in a situation where you're not going to say Birchas HaRoah and you're not going to hear Birchas HaRoah, even though you might say Neres Hanukkah, you have to go find the menorah. You got to go look around, go walk up and down the streets to go find the menorah. And then come some Rishonim and say something even more startling. Come a group of Rishonim and say, and what if you can't find a menorah? What if you're in the middle of Wyoming? There's nobody around. Nobody. There is no menorah there. So come some Rishonim and say, so you have to light your own menorah. So light a menorah and make a bracha. It's an unbelievable bracha. Asher kiddushon mitzvot of la'adik neshul Chanukah. You're allowed to recite a bracha la'adik neshul Chanukah. Why? Because since you're mechuyav to light the menorah in order to get a Birchas HaRoah, so b'meila you can recite a bracha. Asher kiddushon mitzvot of la'adik neshul Chanukah. So it's a backwards bracha. The bracha is usually on the mitzvah of locha. I was yetzim. My wife lived for me an hour ago. I was yetzim locha already. I'm not accomplishing anything. The only reason why I'm lighting a menorah now is to enable me to be able to create a ner chanukah, to be able to say shas anisim on it. You can make a bracha l'hadik ner chanukah. That also. So very, very strange shita. So how do we pass in? We pass in that whenever somebody's lighting on my behalf, I'm okay. And I'm done, finished. I have no responsibility whatsoever to find the Birchas HaRoah. But do we say no? That each and every person has to search for a menorah. And if you can't find a menorah, then you got to make up your own menorah. You got to light your own menorah. So that's the machlokes. It's 2 days in Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch in one place writes one way, another place writes another way. So someone just sent me a shout out today. Someone's wife just had a baby last night. So she's going to be in the hospital tonight. So the husband wanted to know what, if any, is his wife's obligation vis-a-vis Neres Hanukkah. So can his wife do anything? She can't light a real menorah. She can't light down the hospital. So what, if anything, could she do? So I said that the Ike Mikra Din, she probably has to do nothing, because Mikra Din, the husband's going to go home tonight. He's going to go light the menorah at home. So his adlok is going to be part to her. And since she's been yaitse with his adlok, or she's part of the B'nai Abayis, she's been yaitse with his adlok, and therefore there's no need for her to make any birchas aroah. But not everyone agrees. One day Rishayim says that she's still chayavis in birchas aroah. So I said, yes, I say, so let her listen over the phone. What do you gain by listening over the phone? So Rabbi Shah is a chiddush gadol. Rabbi Shah writes that he thinks maybe he could be yaitse bracha over the phone. We usually assume not that way. Most people don't practice that way, I said. So I responded, when you respond with shahs and emails, you have to try to cut down, with as much as possible. So basically, the response was something along the lines as follows, that Mikra Din, she's Ptura, Mazel Tov, enjoy the baby, and don't worry about Birch Zeroa. I said, if she feels that she wants to hear Birch Zeroa, let her listen to it over the phone. Sure. According to most people, you find out Yotze that way anyway, but it's okay to be Yotze Mitzvah, you're not really Yotze with, because you're not Lechayiv in it anyway, so if you win some, you lose some. But anyway, getting back to the story. So the bottom line is, a major machlokes two days of Shulchan Aruch, what do you do in such a situation? Where my wife is lighting for me, someone else is lighting for me, how am I supposed to make a Birch Zeroa? Am I supposed to light my own menorah or not? So this shadow comes up very, very often. Say a husband's on a business trip. Husband's out of town. He's in Chicago, and his wife's in Tidek, and she and the kids, they're lighting the menorah in the house. So what, if anything, does the husband have to do? So the Ikra Din, the husband doesn't do anything. The Ikra Din is Yaitse with that Lopas Neretz, but the Lopas of Beiso. So strictly speaking, it would appear that he doesn't have to do anything. But some Rishonim say he does have to do something. Some Rishonim say he's got to go find a Shas and Nisim. Who's going to go find her? Walk the streets looking for Shas and Nisim. If he's in Chicago, maybe you'll find it. If he's in Wyoming, he won't find it. So some have the practice that the person lights his own menorah, notwithstanding the fact that his wife and kids are lighting at home. So he goes in and he lights his own menorah as well. So come a group of poskim and say that maybe a bracha levatala, because according to those opinions who say that he's not chayev because he's yaitse with his wife's halacha, so he's not chayev. So what is he accomplishing exactly? LOI, you want to claim it's mahadrin? It's the same as when I light the menorah at home, so my kids are all yaitse with my halacha, so I happen to go ahead and light afterwards, because that's mahadrin. It's a hidden mitzvah for everybody to light. But the Mishabur writes that hidden mitzvah doesn't apply between husbands and wives. Husbands and wives are one entity, are one unit, quote unquote, Isha Zufo. So therefore the Mishabur raises a very, very serious question about this practice. If the husband's out of town, the wife goes out and lights, or the other way around, whatever it is, if the husband's out of town and the wife is at home, and she lights the menorah at 6 o'clock, and the husband gets home from his business meeting in Chicago at 9 o'clock, and he wants to light the menorah wherever he is, in a hotel, someone's house, wherever he is, he wants to light his own menorah, how can he do that? He was yaitzer, ready with his wife, son, lover. And I said, what's he lighting for? For Shas and Nisim? That's what he said. Most men in the Rishonim, there's no chiyuv for Shas and Nisim. He was yaitzer that also. So he's not going to pickle. So the Mishabura writes, but the minigis people do. People do it anyways. How do you defend that minig that many people do, that they light menorahs no matter what, even if their wives are ready lit? So the Mishabura says one of two possibilities. One possibility, says, is maybe the husband should have in mind not to be yaitzer. And when his wife is lighting, so he's not having wanted to be yaitzer with his wife, said Lacha. So that's a very, very tricky question, because there is a big question in the Rishonim, what exactly is the nature of Neres Chanukah? Is Neres Chanukah a Yechovas HaGavra? Each person is chayav to light in a Chanukah? So let's say when the father lights, so the wife and the kids are yotzei, it's like I'm reading the Megillah for them, it's like I'm blowing shofar for them, it's each person is chayav, but I'm doing it to be motzi them. Well, it's a different form. It's not that I'm being motzi them. It's a chayav habayis. The family unit, the household unit, was the chiyuv the Chazal were instituted. So anyone who's part of that hadlaka is by definition yaitzei. So when I light the menorah, my wife and my kids are not yaitzei because I'm being motzi them. They're yaitzei because we are one big happy family. At least we're not fighting over the candle. So one happy family together. So we're all one hadlaka together. If the word is that I'm not really being mighty somebody in Halachas Neres Chanukah, what does Kavanah have to do with anything? Kavanah means when I'm getting up to blow shofar and Rosh Hashanah, I'm going to be about the camp, I'm going to be mighty to you. So to have in mind not to be mighty to you, then you're not Yotzei. But over here, I'm not being mighty to you. It's just that we're together. So what do you mean? You take yourself out of the family for tonight. You're stuck. You're part of the family. So whoever's part of the family is considered to be Yotzei, together with the Halacha of the Baal HaBayis, or the Baal HaBayis, whether they like it or not. So the Mishabura's suggestion may not work. Then the Mishabura has another suggestion, which may work, but it may not always be practical. The Mishabura says, what if, let's say, the husband's out in Chicago, we'll give that case, and I guess the husband's out in Krakow, whatever it is, the husband's out in Chicago, and the wife's sitting in Tibet, and it comes time to light. So the Mishabura recommends, let the husband light time-wise before the wife lights. Why? Because when the husband lights in Chicago, the wife is not yotze, because the halacha of the husband in his hotel room or in his motel, wherever he's staying, his halacha can't be motzi the wife, because the wife is not there, she doesn't live there. But the wife's halacha can be motzi the husband, because the husband still lives at home, even though he's on business trip right now. So the Mishnah Berurah says, she should try to coordinate the timing properly, that he lights before she lights. The person who's out of town should light first, because if the person who's out of town lights first, so then they're chayev right now, and then by the time the wife lights, so the wife is also chayevus. So it's not a question of a bracha levatala. The other thing is, that's only practical, assuming that the time zone is working in your direction. What if you have a situation where, let's say, the wife lives in Eretz Yisrael, and the family lives in Eretz Yisrael, the husband's out of town, he's in California. So he calls his wife on the Erev of the first day of Chanukah and says, listen, I just read the Mishnah Berurah, the Chumrah, that I should light before you. So that means she can't light at 6 o'clock at 9 a.m. So she's got to wait until 4 o'clock in the morning. She's got to light till 10 hours later in order for him to light at his mind. So that's ridiculous. That's obviously not going to happen. So the Gemara says that you're supposed to, Ner Shabbos takes precedence over Ner Chanukah, because Shalom Bayis is more important. So if you want to create a good Shalom Bayis problem, tell your wife that you have to wait up till 4 o'clock in the morning in order to light. The wife and kids have to stay up because I'm out in California or something. That's not going to fly. It's too well. So who's going to fly? You're going to be the next one flying out, and so tell you to stay out. So comes the Mishnah Berurah and says it's theoretically an aid, but practically it doesn't always work that way. So what do we do? The Olam somehow relies on Afa Vichein. The minhag Olam is that people lied even though the wives are lighting for them. So what I always tell people is that, listen, those who are able to coordinate the timing, matoiv. Those who are not able to coordinate the timing, if they really feel they really want to light, so then they should at least have in mind they're not yet with their wife. That way, at least, according to some poskim, it would be an Eitzah.
Christian Izzy also be using his wife and then lights the next day himself.
According to those Rishonim who say that he's the Pashas, he doesn't say Shachiyonim, because Shachiyonim, the same way he was Yotzeh Hadlokas Neiris, he was Yotzeh Shachiyonim also, the Pashas. So he wouldn't have to. Another possible Eitzah, depending on who's home in the house, another Eitzah may be instead of the wife lighting, have one of the kids light. If one of the kids is over Bar Bas Mitzvah, that'll make everybody happy. Why? Because when the kids light, even the daughter who doesn't usually light, let her light this time, because there we can justify the father lighting based on Mahadrin. Because Mahadrin, we follow the minhag of the Rambam. We recite brachas right and left on Mahadrin. So what's the difference whether everyone's standing around together, Mahadrin, or I'm in Chicago and you're in New York? It's also Mahadrin. So that would be a better Eitzah. And then the question becomes, well, what if you don't have kids that age? So if you have kids over Chinuch, that becomes again a shaky question, because we don't want to rely, we don't want the wife to rely on the kids who are over Chinuch. So we're trying to be so firm to save the husband, you end up sacrificing the wife's halacha. So I would say the hierarchy of Eitzahs in these kinds of very common situations is as follows. If there's somebody over the age of Bar Bas Mitzvah who's willing to light in the house, they should be the one to light in the house. And technically speaking, the wife is yotze with that halacha. Technically speaking, the husband's also yotze with that halacha. Oh, what? The husband still can volunteer to light if he wants to. B'toras Mahadrin. Whenever you light B'toras Mahadrin, then you can make a din recite a bracha. But that option doesn't exist. So then, if the time issue works, matoiv. If the time issue doesn't work, so then you have to decide. If you want to rely on those who say kavana, you know, negative kavana works, or you want to just talk about light. And if you're not going to light, so then the more correct thing to do is, if you're in a firm area, try to hear the brachas of somebody. So that way, at least you'll chop around those days in Rishon, the day in Shulchan Aruch, about in terms of Shas and Nisim. So the bottom line is, the sugya that started off in the Gemara is a very, very simple sugya. There's two lines in the Gemara. So noy chayav b'nei Chanukah, and you can mishtap your pruta, and if you're married, so your wife's matik love is so basic, and that's it. So a very, very simple sugya became a very, very complicated sugya. And it became even more complicated today, because everyone's coming and going. In the days of Chazal, again, people pretty much were born in one place, they lived that place, and then that was it. That's where they spent their life. Today, everyone's on the run. Every day, somewhere else, you have to start to figure out how to plug in the proper halachas.
But if he's in Chicago, doesn't light at all, that's also okay.
Well, the problem is that according to one day in Rishon, one day in Shulchan Aruch, he's supposed to hear Shas Anisim. So if he walks around finding a Shas Anisim, that would be great.
But if he doesn't,
he's still yet. Then the Ikar Din is still yet. Unless one argues that one's not yet to the halacha of one's Bnei Abayis, and one is so far away. So there was some who have such a chumrah that the Gemara is talking about. The guy's the next town over or something. The guy's 1,000 miles away. He's yotze. Pashup shot is yotze. What's the big deal? What's the difference? Who cares how far away he is? That's what we usually assume, but not everybody agrees to that. So that would be that's the question. If you get someone to in the morning, it's part of the same problem.
And he doesn't come to in the morning, so she could
right, so again, if you want to rely on those posts, we'll say that having in mind after the yotzei works, then you can wake her up and recite the brachas. Or according to Rabbi Shah, as we mentioned last week, that you don't even have to wake her up. According to Rabbi Shah, you can make a bracha nechat even if nobody's around, nobody's up.
Is it better to light yourself and make it up,
or just yeah, up? I would say it's probably better to light maybe without brachas, because it's not so partial maybe you had in mind. Not to be yotzei, it's not so clear. If you really, really had in mind to be yotzei, then there's really no reason to light. Then we continue yotzei.
And what
would
you light? It's coming on, it's not
even morning. Yeah.
And she's going to light the
class. She's going to light, so I would say he's not
mechutz light. Do I hurt or do I himself?
He's not mechutz light. He's not mechutz light. If you lie on her. If he really wants to light, then I would tell him, try to get one of the kids light. So I always tell people, some of the husbands come home 11, 12 o'clock at night from work. Forget about it. Not from out of town. They come home very late. The kids are going to sleep at 7 o'clock. So it's not fair. The kitchen is up the whole chanukah because he's coming home late. So I tell them that they should have the kids light at 6, 7 o'clock before they go to sleep. And that the wife shouldn't light. Let the kids light. They'll make whatever brachas they do. And then when the husband gets home, hopefully the wife will be up. So they'll be able to light it that way.
What was
the problem of the husband in Chicago simply lighting without saying Lahalik just so it'll have Neros to make Shah Anisim for?
He was
yotzei with Hadlachah. No, but according to many Rishonim, you're not chayv in Shah Anisim. You're only chayv in Shah Anisim if you want yotzei with someone's Hadlachah. Anyone who was yotzei with Hadlachah is yotzei with Shah Anisim also. It's not that there's an independent chiv of Shah Anisim. Shah Anisim is for the guy who never was yotzei Hadlachah. Okay.